Welcome to the Blockchain Life with your host, Wall Street Journal and USA Today's best-selling author, Carrie Oberbrunner. In each episode, we explore relevant topics that help you keep your world connected and protected. Thanks for joining the conversation today. Let's begin.
Hey, my friends, welcome to Blockchain Life. This is Carrie Oberbrunner. The episode you're about to hear is unique. Normally, I'm the one interviewing an expert. However, I had Kevin O'Leary's people reach out to me. Kevin is obviously part of Shark Tank, if you're familiar with that show. And he's a major investor in a company called WonderFi out of Canada. And they're really doing some fantastic things. They heard about the Great Metagration, my NFT project, and they wanted to do an interview. And so as a result, here I am. I'm the one who's being grilled, and the gentleman, Aaron, who I just met on the podcast, did a fantastic job. Really appreciate him. So thanks, Aaron, for all you're doing, and enjoy the podcast. And next week, I'll be interviewing someone else. Take care.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for joining us on our fourth episode of Money Goals. We're really lucky to be joined today by Carrie Oberbrunner. He is a Wall Street Journal best-selling author, and he is a recent creator, founder of a really interesting NFT project that we're going to dive into today called The Great Metagration. So thanks a lot for having us here today. Thanks a lot for joining us here today, Carrie.
I'll tell you what, man, I am thrilled to be here. This is literally the highlight of my day. So I put it on my calendar and I'm absolutely thrilled.
Awesome. Yeah, highlight of my day as well. To get started, why don't you tell us a little bit more about this new metaverse project that you've launched, which I mentioned is called The Great Metagration.
Yes.
And yeah, just tell us a little bit about the project.
All right, man. It's Aaron, it's pretty mind-blowing. All right. So I've been into books for 20 years. I'm a publisher. I've written a dozen books, but I've published more than 1,000 authors. So that's I like talking about my authors more than myself. But, you know, as I began to help people with their books, I started to see a shift as we moved out of Web 2. I think right now we're on the edge between Web 2 and Web 3. There's a lot of futurist people like yourself, your company, that is thinking progressively, but a lot of people are late to the game and it'll take years to get over there. But I began to see that, you know, the migration into Web 2 from Web 3, let's call it the metagration, because it's the metaverse. And so it's kind of a play on words, but it's about how we have a new chance in this new world to essentially show up as businesses and people with the components that we truly want. So for example, this all happened kind of in a weird dream-ish type thing. But basically, I said, you know what? Rape is an example of something we don't want in the new world. So we have the chance right now to create boundaries, guidelines, processes, partnerships that eliminates that. So you have the physical world and now you have the virtual world. And I thought, man, wouldn't this be cool if we could create a new world that only had the components that would be helful for humanity? So what I began to do is I began to think about this. And of course, I love IP, intellectual property, books all behind me. I said, how can we do this the right way? And because I've only known about NFTs for about a little over a year. I'm someone who loves the future, but like anybody, I kind of didn't get it at first. Blockchain, you know, all this stuff. By the way, love what your company's doing, and you guys are just crushing it. So big congrats to your recent acquisitions.
Yeah,
right? Like was it Coinberry and some of these other things?
Yeah, just announced Coinberry and finalized BitBuy about a month ago.
Yeah. Big congrats to you and your team working so hard on that. So here's what I began to do. I began to say, I'm going to buy up domain names, not to resell domain names, because to me, that's not that's not sexy. I mean, you know, that's not really cool. I mean, I'm not passionate about that. But here's what I began to say. I'm going to buy up domain names and I'm going to turn them into NFTs. Now, even before I started thinking about that, that's kind of new to the scene. Now, you have a few companies in the last 6 months that have started to do that. But I was thinking of this about 6 months ago myself. And so it really wasn't out there yet, you know, unstoppable domains and this type of thing. But here's what I said, Aaron. I said, what if I bought some of those domain names, turned them into NFTs and retired them forever? So for example, metaverserape.io, no one will ever be able to use that. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I began to pick these, you know, like I'm a father of three teenagers. I care about young people. I want them to be protected. We're now moving into the metaverse. You've heard of some of the security issues in certain, you know, metaverses. And I thought, we got to protect kids. We got to protect people who are vulnerable. So as I began to retire some of these, I said, you know what? I want to pick names that I would love to partner with people too. And so I began to buy up certain domain names. And here's what I did. I created the Metagration, which is my pseudonym, and it's an NFT artist. And I created an Instagram account and I created a Twitter account. And I began to follow companies like your own or like people I respect online, Kevin O'Leary, you know, like different people. And I said, I wonder if they have protected their domain names. And here's what I found. This was back in December. Okay. I'm talking like 6 months ago. Nobody had protected these domain names. Like I'm talking .ios. And I'll tell you why I did .ios. Okay. .ios, I mean, you look at autograph.io, OpenSea.io. You know, there's a lot of companies that realize that Web3, kind of the domain name of choice is .io or .xyz. Yeah. So I believe that this is the metagration, moving from .coms to essentially domains that represent Web3. So you've seen, I mean, you probably know of companies that end in .io and .xyz, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
There's been a lot of NFT projects like that as well. So here's I'm sitting in the Matrix 4 movie in December, and I'm thinking about all this. And then all of a sudden I'm watching the movie and I'm like, oh my gosh, the city is .io. I don't know if you've seen Matrix 4.
I haven't yet.
Okay, but the city is .io. And then I'm thinking, oh my gosh, this is a sign, you know? So then I start doing more research and I say, I got to go all in. I got to go all in. So I began to purchase a lot of these domain names, believe it or not. I know it sounds crazy, but 10,000. Okay. Pretty crazy. But what I began to do is I began to get some that I say I want to retire forever and some that I would love to help out and partner. Because remember, my business is publishing and protecting IP. In other words, I have a podcast called Blockchain Life, and the tagline is Your World Connected, which is community, and protected, which is security. So community and security, connected and protected. So I'll tell you what, Aaron, I haven't sold one yet because I haven't wanted to. That's not the motivation, but you might have seen the press release. I mean, we're talking, you know, and dare I say certain names, but I mean, you think of the biggest brands, the biggest celebrities, the biggest influencers in the world, and we own them all. And the reason that we're hanging on to them is we want to create a new metaverse that is safe, secure. It's based on good values. And so that's kind of the thing. Now, listen, a lot of people aren't getting it. I mean, do you get it now that I kind of had time?
No, I do understand it. And to me, like what was interesting when I first started looking into this project was the fact that you're kind of, it's not purely in just Web3 that you're focusing this on. So it's also in Web2. So you're using Web3 as a vehicle for creating a community and getting people interested and excited about this movement. But a lot of it is actually on Web2 rails. So like that kind of that combination of the two. And something else that kind of struck me was that was interesting about kind of the idea, the thesis that you have behind this, was one of the things that made the internet really popular when it first started was actually the adult film industry. That was one of the first use cases that the internet found. And it actually drove a lot of the growth of the internet in the early days. And it seems like this project is kind of taking the idea that there's, you know, going to be illicit kind of markets and getting in front of that in the metaverse. And you're trying to kind of get in front of that and create awareness and community around it. So that's what I found really interesting about the project. And is that correct? Do you think that's
you got it, man. I mean, you so got it. And we have other domains too, like, for example, metaverse teacher, metaverse doctor. We have some of those that we just know are going to be exciting for certain players out there who say, look, you know, I'd love to have metaverse realtor.io. But you're right. I think you totally got it. You got the fact that most people are not ready to just jump into digital wallets and start, you know, using crypto. There's this whole onboarding of a world, and it's called the Great Metigration. In other words, it's not going to happen overnight. So you're right. There's this migration, there's this metigration. And I mean, haven't you been blown away by the amount of businesses that have jumped into the metaverse? I mean, it is unbelievable.
It is. Yeah. And I think maybe I'd be interested to get your thoughts on this, because even with like the term metaverse, I think it's still not really a well-defined term. You know, in the crypto world, a lot of people view the metaverse as an interoperable, decentralized network of, you know, I guess, communities. But a lot of other people, you know, like Fortnite, it's a centralized walled garden, but that still has a metaverse component to it. And it seems like kind of your, this project that you're working on, it combines... It can be effective in both of those realms, not just, you know, in the it works in the centralized realm and it works in the decentralized realm. And with the term metagration, it's, you know, it lends itself well to both migration, but also integration. I don't think Web2 is going to go away. You know, I'm not a Web3 maximalist in the way that a lot of people are. I think centralization makes a lot of sense in certain areas and decentralization makes sense in others. So I think, this project, it seems to really lend itself well to both kind of systems or schools of thought.
I love how I can tell you're dialed in, you're intelligent in this area. 'Cause I agree. It's not like things are just going to happen overnight. I mean, look at some of the things that have taken years that it's like the bell curve. You have the early adopters. And then you have, you know, the majority, and then you have your late adopters. Do you care if I share my screen? Because there's a chart that will blow your mind, I think.
Yeah. No, please do. Okay. Let me see if I need to.
Yeah. So, and I get it through the podcast. We'll talk about it so people can, you know, see it with their ears. But otherwise, I can send you this too if you want to put it on your website or something. But for sure. Anyway. Yeah, I got it here. Okay, perfect.
Awesome.
So remember, the way I understand things is to write about it, because I'm a writer. Okay. So this is my own, but this is a book I'm working on that's going to launch later in 22, but the book is called Blockchain Life. So are you kind of seeing, I'll go through this a little bit, but do you see how on the left side, the red, there's components? And then you have Web 1, which was, you know, I'm a lot older than you, I'm bald. But, you know, that was Web 1, and then Web 2, and then Web 3. But if I'm going to pick one row, I'll pick the motto. You know, so for people that are listening, the motto with Web 1 is they create, they own. So this was like Domino's Pizza. They build a website, they own it. But then you can see, how do you log in with a username and password? It's informational, it's static. Like, you wouldn't even go back to a website in Web 1.0. You would just look at it and read it and consume it. Now you're done. Well, along comes Web 2, which is we create, they own, which again, Social Dilemma kind of blew this up, saying, look, You're creating the videos, but YouTube owns them. You're creating the photos, but Instagram owns them. You're creating the content, but Google owns it. You know, like, in other words, we began to see, hey, something's wrong. We're the users and they're profiting from us. And then with Web3, it's we create, we own. And I think this charts may, you know, I have a lot of clients that are older, just being real, you know, like authors, they're working on their book later in life. A lot of them, not all of them, but they have a tough time understanding Web3 unless I show this. And then when I show this, they're like, oh, you know, I get it. Okay, so I'm going to log into a website with a digital wallet connection someday. Okay, you know, cryptocurrencies. Okay, that's the currency. So I think that this helps people process like the great migration and how we're not going to get rid of, like you said, Web 2 anytime soon, but we're right here on this edge. And there's a lot of people who look over here and they're scared. So they try to say, oh, it's just a scam, you know, or they say, oh, it's just, you know, a bunch of marketers. But the people who really understand what's happening, NFTs are not just expensive JPEGs. I mean, you're digitizing an asset and you're creating, I mean, think about it. As authors, I'll never get a second royalty if somebody buys my book at half price books. But as an NFT, I'll make perpetual royalties for the rest of my life as that's being sold. So hopefully that helps explain, you know, some of the thought behind this as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, thanks for sharing that. This is a very useful chart for sure. Awesome. Yeah. So, I mean, what inspired you really to kind of get into this area? I mean, I know is the Matrix kind of triggered the thought, but is this kind of an area that you've always been passionate and interested in, or is there something else that really got you interested and inspired to work on this?
I've always liked sci-fi, but I'm not. Yeah, I think there's like sci-fi nerds who, and I mean that in a good way. Like, I mean, they're just like they know everything about everything. I've never been that type of guy, but I've always been on the personality tests, really excited about the future. And, you know, I love cutting edge. I love what's coming. And as a result, it took me 5 seconds the first time I heard my friend Tyler explain NFTs. We were in a room of people and he explained it. He's like, you ever hear about NFTs? I'm like, no, what is that? He's like, non-fungible token. I'm like, what does that mean? And he explained it then. And I said, oh my gosh, this is going to change the world. Like, I literally knew that because of my publishing background. Because think about it, Aaron. You know, here's one of my books, Unhackable, but every book on planet Earth has a barcode. We call this an ISBN. And so guess what? I'll tell you what, I'm ready to launch a website called ISBNFT. Okay. So my passion, this is all related to the Great Migration, but for me to go publish this book, I have to buy an ISBN. I have to then stamp it on a book, you know, then I have to go register with the Library of Congress, right? I have to ship them a physical book to Washington, D.C. The whole thing is jacked up.
Wow.
Yeah, it's very jacked up. Now, or I can guess what? In seconds, mint an NFT, slap a QR code, and guess what? We've now created an international registry called ISBNFT, where now you just go to that registry, scan the QR code, and you can immediately see that intellectual property is safe on the blockchain.
Wow, that's really, so I guess we're going to have to get you on the podcast again once that launches. That sounds really cool.
Yeah, well, it's all related. It's related to this project because remember all those 10,000 domain names that I mentioned?
Yeah.
They're all listed. Well, I'll tell you what, we listed 7,000. We took out 3,000 that are businesses that we want to partner with. Mm-hmm. Because again, I want to bring, I think the more people that adopt into Web3 and metaverses and stuff, as long as it's done correctly, I think we all benefit. You know how that is. Any platform that has a very few amount of people in it, it's not as valuable.
Yeah.
And so I think we all win as we all adopt this technology. So I just think, you know, my background is, believe it or not, I was a minister in my earlier life. And so I naturally, you know, want to make sure that everyone's okay, that values are good. And so that's where I'm, you know, as a father and as a former pastor, I want to kind of make sure that we enter this new world, not with a dystopian concept that a lot of people think, oh my gosh, people are never, this is interesting, Aaron, check this out. People are like worried that people are going to never leave their house in the metaverse. And here's what's interesting. I know a woman who's 50 who always struggled with exercise, hated it. Hated the way she looked, hated to go to the gym. She is loving exercise with her Oculus. I mean, she's losing weight, she's getting healthy, but it's all because of the metaverse. Well, do you know that the average senior citizen sits in front of a TV 7 hours a day, sits? So my point is this, the metaverse just opened up a whole new exercise component for this woman. That's what I'm trying to remove all the fear and the stigma and like, we're all going to die if we go into the metaverse, because I just think that it's fear mongering and it usually happens because people don't understand something.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, and you know, back to the point you made about people thinking, a lot of people thinking like Web3 is a scam. You know, I think a lot of that criticism is founded in truth because there is a lot of scams that are happening in the space. What I found really interesting is when people like you, who are, you know, you have a great reputation and you're building something that's actually really useful for people. This is exactly the kind of thing we need to push the space forward and to legitimize it more. So I think it's really interesting what you're working on and the way that you're kind of, you know, using your influence in a really positive way in the space. And I think that's something that we definitely need to see more to. And that's how adoption is going to happen. You know, it's not going to be by selling more profile picture, you know,
yes,
kitties or anything like that.
Yeah. And you got to have real utility, right? You got to have
use
cases. Yeah. I mean, I've read a lot of books on this topic because again, when I first learned something, I want to just master it. I mean, there's cities now that, I don't know if you've heard about this one, but there's cities that have tapped into blockchain where while you're driving, you can essentially take out your phone, or your passenger can, so you don't get distracted. They can, identify a pothole in the road. So like, let's say you just went over a pothole, boom, you press a button, just kind of like Waze, where it alerts a DAO that has tax money from the community that then dispatches an asphalt team to go patch that hole. I mean, is that crazy?
Oh, that reminds me of, I'm sure you've read this book, but The Sovereign Individual.
I have not read that.
You gotta read it. You gotta read it. These guys, they wrote it in, I think in the 90s, and they had pretty much exactly that kind of like distributed governance idea. Like,
whoa,
it's a really cool book. Definitely.
The Sovereign Individual.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to check that out. That is cool. But yeah, there's that. There's okay. Here's another one. When Chipotle, I don't know if you guys have Chipotle in Canada. Do you? I don't know.
Limited, but we do.
Okay. Okay. But years ago, Chipotle had a contamination. That thing was shut down for months. They had a track where this thing was. Where did it get in the supply chain contaminated? I believe it took them 6 months to find out that it was Australian beef. Okay. They looked at blockchain technology, and in a matter of 7 seconds, they can tell now if food is in the blockchain, where the contamination happens because of all the checkpoints. This is the type of thing that could like save businesses. I mean, it could save lives. So yeah, I do think there could be some dangers. I do think there's scams going on, but I'm one of these people who say, look, let's get the right people into this conversation. And I do believe that the bulk of humanity has a good motives, and we can solve a lot of problems through decentralization.
Yeah, absolutely. I think so. And yeah, governance, I think governance is probably one of those problems that's going to take a long time to figure out, because it's, sure, you know, even if you look at the progress of just human society in general, it took us thousands of years to create these highly efficient systems we have now. And if you want to recreate those using DAOs, we will be able to do it faster because of all the technology we have, but it's, sure, probably going to take like a decade or,
sure,
maybe longer to actually be able to have these highly efficient, you know, distributed, yeah, governance systems in place. But I'm very optimistic.
I'm jumping in full steam. And by that, I mean, I'm flying out to Phoenix in a week to film a VR publishing course. Because right now in the Oculus app, they have very few, if at all, personal growth apps or games or whatever you want to call it. It's mostly gaming and workspace. Well, there's a whole industry that says, hey, we can put personal growth into VR. So yeah, I'm going to be teaching a literal publishing class in VR. Super excited. It'll launch in August.
That's awesome. Yeah, you have all these NFT projects going on. What's kind of the roadmap that people can expect we can bring it back to the Metacreation project and kind of, yeah, we can break down what the roadmap looks like there. And then if you want to kind of talk about some of the other projects you have as well, sure, please do.
So here's what's going to happen. I need the right partner. In other words, like anything, there's skepticism, there's hey, what's this thing? The Great Metacreation, what's with the domain name, blah, blah, blah. People fear what they don't know. And so I'm looking for the right business or partner to begin saying, we get it. And, Genies, you've heard of Genies?
Oh, I haven't. No.
Okay. Genies is real popular right now. It's, essentially, avatars, the former CEO of Disney just joined, Bob Iger, and they're out of California. Anyway, here's what they did. They began to partner with celebrities and they would create avatars for these celebrities. And the celebrities would then reshare it to their audience. So imagine Justin Bieber or whoever gets a little avatar cartoon version of him and he's like, sweet, thanks, Genies. And he retweets it, he shares about it. That created awareness. What I'm looking for is for the right celebrity or the right partner who wants to get behind this project. I already have all the assets. Now, I've had people want to just throw money at me and be like, hey, man, you know, oh my gosh, you own all these things. I'm going to just, you know, I'll buy you out. Or that's not really my motivation. My motivation is to partner with the right people and then block the wrong people. You know, like, in other words, you know, we don't need more drugs in the metaverse that are going to jack up people. You know, I had a relative who was addicted to heroin. I mean, destroyed, you know, so I want to create this safe new world, but it's got to be the right partner. So if I'm putting anything out, it would be, you know, I don't know, some kind of influencer who gets it and then recognizes, oh my gosh, this is a, because check it out. This is interesting. We call it a web address. Right? I mean, that's what we call it. Like, what's your web address? Well, guess what? The domain is the key. So the key to the metaverse is the domain. And I know what some people are saying, well, you can get to the metaverse, you know, through goggles or whatever, but we're still, like you said, we're still going to web addresses. And I think we will for a long time. So I got to find the right person who wants the keys to the metaverse so that we can create good. And it's not going to be one person. This is going to be the right collaboration. And then from that, there'll be people who say, oh my gosh, I'm a super fan of this person. If they do that, then it's great, because, I dare not say what names I have, but I mean, think about the biggest names in the industry, musicians, actors, celebrities, influencers, it's not money motivated, but I want to get the right partner.
Right. All right. So it sounds like you're looking for kind of like an awareness campaign. building out the economics of the project and building out.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. Here's an example. Think about it. Metaverserape.io. Okay, so what if we could leverage that as a domain name that would give back to women's shelters? So we have one in our town. It's called Rahab's Hideaway. Imagine women who've been human trafficked, and now all of a sudden we can protect the metaverse. I know I'm not idealistic. I'm not saying by owning an NFT you're going to stop evil in the world, but I'm saying awareness. So now all of a sudden we create this nonprofit motive that businesses are like, heck yeah, I get a tax write-off plus I do good. And now we give money and protect and help women who've been trafficked. This is the type of mind that I'm looking for, that sees the altruistic, philanthropic mindset behind an NFT project. Could you imagine that? Right. I mean, that would be mind blowing.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's actually exactly kind of how I was imagining this product working out. It's kind of like, it's partially a community and partially a nonprofit, kind of like a charity almost, but a decentralized charity in a way. And that sounds really interesting. So I guess I have one final big question for you,
sure.
Which is, now after you've been involved in Web3 yourself, what does your vision of the ideal future for Web3 look like?
Oh, that's good. Well, here's what I think. I think there's three events that destroyed trust in the world. Three big events lately. One was the Great Recession, where people began to say, oh my gosh, the housing market was not what we thought it was, you know, 2008-ish, right before Bitcoin came about. So what people lost was trust in a centralized ledger. Okay, so that was a big thing. Then in America, we lost trust with the voting with the last two elections, where people began to say, can we even trust the government? Can we, you know, what about the voting? What about the polls? And I mean, it was horrible. It destroyed our country, where sides were like, I mean, crazy, like neighbors are now fighting. Okay, so now we can't trust voting. Well, guess what? The third one was COVID. Certain countries were told, you know, I'm not going to throw rocks at any country, but certain countries said, we don't have COVID, or it's not as bad, or we're going to hide the results. And as a result, a lot more deaths. So housing market, elections, and COVID, all of those things could have been a lot less damage with blockchain and Web3. These are the types of things that I think our world needs to regain trust. And I feel like Web3 is not going to solve all the world's problems, but Web3 gets us back to the power being with the people, as opposed to the, you know, elite. And we know from history that absolute power corrupts absolutely. So that's my passion. My passion would be that Web3 ushers in a new reality, that we now have decentralized power. And I think businesses can still exist. I'm going to be a business. I'm going to be a for-profit business. But I think that that would be pretty powerful.
Awesome. I think that's a great way to cap it off. So if people want to learn more about your project, where can they follow you? Where can they follow the project? Yeah. What are some good places for them to check out?
Yeah. So our podcast is called Blockchain Life, and I need to bring you on, or somebody from, you know, your business, because man, I bring in experts and I just love it. I learn a ton. Our website is thegreatmetagration.io, thegreatmetagration.io. It's got a link to OpenSea. Right now, there's no NFTs for sale. Again, I'm looking for the right partner, but we've gotten hits, we've gotten interest, and I'm just waiting to kind of like say, all right, let's go live. But that would be it. And then ISBNFT.io, that'll be launching in a few days, where all authors can kind of jump on there and be like, wow, you know, I can protect my IP And that'll be pretty powerful.
Awesome. Yeah. And we're going to include links to all of these places in the social posts as well. So people have the links for whatever posts we make. Thank you so much, Gary. This has been great. And
awesome.
Really, really learned a lot from you. So this is really fun. I'm excited to see where the Metagration and ISB NFT go in the future.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Aaron. You were fantastic.
Awesome.
Thanks for listening to Blockchain Life. We hope today's conversation ignited your soul and inspired your mind. Post your comments in a podcast review on iTunes or your platform of choice. We read every single review because your thoughts matter to us. Please share this episode with a friend. We look forward to seeing you again on the next episode.